time to finish. So we have no pygmy pit Olympian or champion. So nobody won the Otter Pop, which kind of puts you in a bad spot, and it puts me in a bad spot because I really want to give out this Otter Pop. So at some point this week, we need like as many people, as many campers as we can, come to Pygmy Pit during one of the free times, and we will do it all over again. We'll start all the way back at the beginning, and we'll have a massive Pygmy Pit challenge. That's going to happen later on this week. Also, you guys have gotten to know your counselors. You've kind of gotten to know me. My name is it can be difficult, okay? Some people struggle with it. So I just want to clear up some things with you guys, okay? My name is Mr. Bodie. It's not Brody. It's not Cody. Though there is a Cody here. Cody, if you could raise your hand. Yep, you're pretty cool. But I don't have your name, and it's also not body, okay? So often, there's a junior camper that comes along, and they're having a great time, and they want to call me Mr. Body. I don't appreciate it, okay? So we'll just avoid calling me Brody, Cody, or Body. Can we make that a deal? Is everyone okay with that? So if you could just say my actual name on the count of three. One, two, three. Mr. Bodie, thank you. You guys have done fabulous. I think that'll last for about another day. Tomorrow someone will have come up with another way to call me. Now, I'm trying really hard to get to know your guys' names. I think I got a lot of the guys down pat. Some of you I'm still working on it. Yep, some of you I'm still working on, but I'm going to get there. So what I'm going to have you guys do right this moment is just so I can get an idea of everyone's name in the room, I just need everyone here on the count of three to say your name, okay? Can you guys do that for me? All right. Three, two, one. Wow. It is nice to meet you. If I don't know your name, I will probably walk up to you and just call you. And don't be offended, because that's a great name if you ask me. That's a fabulous thing. No, it is. It's a fabulous name. There's three things that you're going to have to learn about me, and I think these are just, they're important. Number one, I love coffee. So if you see me drinking coffee, it's because I love coffee. Number two, I love reading. I love books of all shapes and sizes. And number three, I love chocolate chip cookies. Whew. My mom's homemade chocolate chip cookies is just nothing better. And then number three, I'm horrible at math. I'm just terrible at math. I can't do math. I avoid math at all costs. So those are the three things that you should know about me. Four things, whatever I said, that's probably the right thing. What we're about to start doing tonight, what we're doing right now, this is one of the most important parts of camp. And it's one of the most important parts of camp, not because I'm talking. Okay? Maybe you think that, but it's not true. The most important part of camp is right now, because what we're going to be doing is we're going to open the Bible and we're going to learn something from what God has said. So I'm going to pray really quick, and we're going to jump into a couple things from the Bible. We're going to learn some things tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for tonight. We don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to have the Bible with us. I pray that we will be willing to do whatever you tell us to do. I pray that I will be willing to change how I live based on the Scripture. Let your work in every single heart here, that our lives will change because of you. I love you, God, and I praise you for all that you've done. Pray that you use me tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. Before we get going too far, I want to give you a quick tip. I want to tell you guys how you can be a legendary camper. Now, does anyone here want to be a legendary camper? Is that you? Okay, good. Good. I sure hope so. There are three things that if you do them, you will truly be a legendary camper. Are you guys ready for these? Okay, let's go. First thing, participate. Every chance you get, participate. That means when there's an activity, have fun. Jump in. Help your counselor out. When you're doing chores in the morning, jump in. Help out. Do them. Do whatever it takes to participate. Can everyone say that with me? Participate. Very good. The second thing is be kind. You've got plenty of cabin mates around you and friends around you. Please, if you want to have a fun week of camp, be kind to them. Simply be nice to them. Don't be mean. Don't laugh at them. Help them out. Say it with me. Be kind. That's the second way you can be a legendary camper. And finally, the third way to be a legendary camper is to listen. Listen to your counselors. Listen to Cowboy Craig. Listen to the Bible. Listen each evening as we learn about God. Can you guys do that for me this week? Can you say it with me right now? Participate, be kind, and listen. That's the three ways, that was three things that'll help you be a legendary camper. I have one more thing. What is an invitation? We do these at camp, and maybe you're not familiar with them. Maybe you've not heard of them, and I want you to understand what they are so that you know what to do when we get to them. An invitation is simply defined as an opportunity for you to respond to what God says. Usually the invitation will happen at the end of the message. I'll ask you guys to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'll ask you a couple questions. And I might ask you to raise your hand or ask you if you want to go outside and talk to your counselor. That's an invitation. It's just an opportunity for you to respond to what God says. Does that make sense? All right, you'll get better at it. You'll understand it as the days go on. And I have my final question, and we really are getting started. If you could, turn in your Bibles to Mark 12. Mark chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's between Matthew and Luke. You'll find Mark, and then you're going to go almost to the end of Mark, and you'll be in Mark chapter 12. When you're in Mark chapter 12, you're going to look at Mark 12, verse 28. You're going to put your finger there and you're going to hold it there until we get to it, because we will get to it in a little bit. Everyone's turning to Mark 12, verse 28. Get your counselor's help. I've thrown a question on the screen for everyone to see. My question is, what are the two most important things for human survival? If I could get one person to tell me what you think is probably the most, we'll start with number one, the most important thing for human survival, right here in the front. Food. She nails it. Right off the bat, one of the most important things for human survival is food. I need a second thing, right here in the Bronco hat. Water. Oh, you guys are great. That was just two people. You nailed it right off the bat. Food and water are two of the most important things for human survival. Now let's just imagine for a little bit. Let's take Miss Maddie. Miss Maddie, raise your hand so everyone can see you. Let's say that Miss Maddie walks up on stage and she tells me, she says, "You know what, Mr. Bodie? I have decided that I no longer need food or water." I would probably look at Miss Maddie and I would say, "Miss Maddie, you do realize that the two most important things to human survival are food and water." And she might look at me and go, "Mr. Bodie, you must understand, I don't need those things." Now, if Miss Maddie decided to do that, day one, she'd be okay. Day two, she's still okay. Day three, she's struggling, okay? She's not doing too great. And if I came to her, I'd say, "Miss Maddie, are you sure you don't want food or water?" And she's sitting there going, "I'm fine. I don't need it. I don't need food. I don't need water. Miss Maddie chose to to not get the two most important things to human survival, and guess what? She didn't survive. If Miss Maddie decides to not have, or to not get, or to not participate in the two most important things to human survival, she will not survive. Tonight, we're going to look at two things that aren't really important to human survival. There are two things that are important to our lifestyle. They're two of the most important things to how we ought to live as Christians today. There are two things that if you don't get, if you're not pursuing, then you're not pursuing the correct lifestyle. They are two of the most important things to how we live. We're going to begin reading in Mark 12, verse 28. There's an awesome story in Mark 12, 28, where Christ is, Jesus Christ, a real person that actually lived, who taught many things, is presented with a question. We're going to start reading, so follow along in your Bible as I read in Mark 12, in verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Verse 28 in Mark 12, we have a scribe. A scribe is a religious leader, someone who had a lot of religious authority and knowledge, and the people would have looked up to him and said, "That guy, he knows a lot about the Bible." He's coming to Jesus, and he's got a question for Jesus. He says, "Okay, Christ, you've answered people really well." Like, people would come up to Christ, they'd ask him hard questions, and Christ would answer them really well. So this scribe comes to Jesus and says, "I have a question for you, Jesus, and I want an answer. I am wondering, what is the most important commandment of all? What's most important? What should I be paying attention to?" The next thing we see is in verse 29. And in verse 29, we have Christ's response. And Jesus answered him. He says, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.'" So right off the bat, when presented with this question, Christ responds. He said, "You know what the most important commandment is? The number one thing you should be paying attention to, the number one commandment you ought to be living by, is to love God." And then he qualifies that love. He says it should be done with all of your heart. It should be done with all of your mind and your soul and your strength. What Jesus says in Mark 12, 29 through 30, 29 through 30, he's saying that you take your entire being, your whole heart, everything in you, and to dedicate it, to put it towards loving God. It's most important. It should be the purpose of our life. This week, we're going to talk about a number of ways that you and I can love God, especially on Thursday and Friday. I'm really excited about Thursday and Friday. Thursday and Friday night, we're going to look at very specific ways that you and I can express our love to God. And do exactly what Mark 12 is telling us to do. To live exactly the way it says. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He's got another thing to add. He's got a second most important commandment. Let's continue reading in verse 31. And the second is like. Namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So the second thing Christ does, he says, first of all, love God. Secondly, love others. And I want to key in on something right here. I want to key in on this phrase, as yourself. This could easily be misunderstood by you guys and by me. Because I don't know about you, I might look at this and go, okay, I'm supposed to love others as myself. Well, I just need to learn how to love myself then. How can I love me? How can I raise myself up? That's probably what he's teaching. I just need to love myself better. That's not what Christ is saying. Christ isn't telling us to love ourselves and then love people as a result of that. Let me illustrate it this way. Miss Emily, could you raise your hand? Everyone, Miss Emily is a pretty cool counselor. She's pretty fun. What if she says, you know what? When I'm hungry, I'm not going to eat. When I'm thirsty, I'm not going to get water. When I'm dirty, not going to take a shower. When I'm smelly, I'm not going to put on deodorant. When my hair is a mess, I'm not going to comb my hair. You know what? I'm just not going to take care of myself at all. We would all look at Miss Emily and we go, ugh, no, that's disgusting. You need to take care of yourself, Miss Emily. When you're hungry, eat food. When your teeth smell bad, brush your teeth. When you're thirsty, drink water. You got to take care of yourself, Miss Emily. Otherwise, you're just a walking pigsty. Nobody wants to be around a walking pigsty. When Christ says to love people as yourself, he's saying that in the same way that when you're thirsty, you drink water, and when you're hungry, you eat food, and when you're dirty, you take a shower, at least we hope, and when you need deodorant, you put it on, and when you need your teeth brushed, you brush them, and your combed hair, you comb your hair, because you're taking care of the body God gave you. In the same way that you take care of the body that God gave you, you ought to take care of the people around you. You ought to put them first. Put their needs ahead of your own. And look for ways to take care of others. That's the kind of love he's talking about in verse 31. This is how we ought to be treating others. This is what God has said is valuable. He's saying these things, they're the most important commandments of all time. What's really interesting and what's really cool is if you read in another portion of Scripture the same exact story, we'll put it on the screen. Matthew 22:40 is referring to the same story. And he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Over here in the corner, I've got this lovely chandelier. If you've been wondering about this chandelier, raise your hand. Has anyone looked at this and been like, I wonder what that is? Yeah, I really think this is a pretty cool chandelier. But I don't just have it up here because it looks cool. I want to use this chandelier to illustrate something all week. So underneath this handkerchief are the two things that Christ said are the most important. He said to love God and to love others. He said that in Mark 12:30-31. And then if you look at Matthew 22:40, he says on these two commandments, on love God and love other, hang all the law and the prophets. What he's saying is that the Bible and everything contained within the Bible and the commandments that we have from Scripture, they all flow out of these two commandments, love God and love others. So if you want to do the rest of the Bible and you want to live according to the rest of the Bible, what I need to do is I need to focus on loving God and loving others. What we're going to do throughout the week is we're going to take these little cards, and we're going to be hanging them on that chandelier to illustrate things that we can do. Things like being a servant. In Matthew 20, 28, it says, even as the Son of Man, or Jesus Christ, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about how Christ came to earth and he died for us. How he was a servant to every single person in this room. And what we want to talk about tonight is that we can be a servant to everyone in this room as well. And we're going to hang that right on this chandelier. Because being a servant in your cabin, helping out with the chores that you have in your cabin, helping clean the table at dinner, should come out of a desire to love God and to love others. I shouldn't be a servant so people notice me, so I look good, so I feel good. No, I'm going to be a servant because I love God, because he's told me to, and because I love the people around me. Another thing that we can add to the chandelier, a practical way that we can love God and love others, is to selflessly give. We're about to look at a story where someone selflessly gave. We're going to learn how we can do that better. And we should be doing that out of a love for others and for a love for God. Finally, we have forgive. This is Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's a really common verse, but it's all part of loving God and loving others. That is what it flows out of. The rest of the week, you're going to get pretty used to seeing that chandelier. And I'm going to be talking about it quite a bit. Because I really want us to understand that the two most important commandments, the two things that we ought to be paying attention to, are love God and love others. That all of my actions to forgive people and to be a servant and to selflessly give, all those actions ought to be coming out of a love for God and a love for others. We're going to finish up tonight on one final story that illustrates being a servant and selflessly giving. You don't have to turn there. Just pay attention as I read in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, we have an amazing story about a person who helps, who gives of their time and their money and their energy. In Luke 10, verse 30 through 33, we read, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So Christ starts the story by saying, okay, we've got a guy. He's walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's having a great time as he walks along the road, and then bam, in come thieves. And they throw him on the ground. They beat him up. They take all his clothes. They take his stuff. They take his money, and they leave him on the side of the road half dead. It's the beginning of Christ's story. We continue on. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that same way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So now we've got a second character in the story. It's a priest. It's someone who has religious responsibility, who is supposed to be a good person. They come walking down the road, and they find this guy beaten up, half dead. Kind of like if you found someone on the side of the road with a flat tire. But instead of a flat tire, they are almost dead. The priest is walking along, and rather than help this poor man, he skirts to the edge of the road, and he passes on the other side, trying to stay away from the man lying on the ground, showing no care, showing no love towards the man. We continue. And likewise, or in the same way, a Levite, another religious person, another person who's supposed to be good, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. So he sees him in the road, half dead. And he passed on the other side, avoiding him, staying away, not loving the person who needed help. But the story is not over. We get a third character. But a certain Samaritan. Now, for many of you in this room, Samaritan means nothing. But to the audience of that day, a person who was a Samaritan was not viewed as a good person at all. So when Christ gets to this part in the story and he says, hey, so there was a Levite, religious guy. There was a priest, religious guy. They didn't do the right thing. But then there was a Samaritan. His audience would have been like, all right, I bet that Samaritan doesn't do the right thing. You know, I bet that Samaritan actually hurts that guy even more. But they're not ready for what Christ says next. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, a guy people wouldn't like, as he journeyed, came where he was, where the man was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. A Samaritan, someone viewed as not good. Someone viewed as not religious. Someone they didn't think you should be around. Comes up to this guy, half dead on the ground. Rather than skirt to the other side of the road, he walks up, he gets close to him, and with love, with compassion, he helps the man. He doesn't just help him onto his feet and say, well, good luck, buddy. I hope you make it out alive. Looks pretty rough. Sorry about that. No, look in verse 34. He goes to him. He went to him and bound up his wounds. So I don't know what he's using now, but he's got some sort of cloth, and he's wrapping the wounds of the half-dead man up, pouring oil and wine, things that would purify and clean. Then he picks the man up and set him on his own beast, on his own animal. So the Samaritan has an animal, maybe it was a donkey or a mule, with him, and he's walking along. He finds the guy half dead. He rushes to his side. He's wrapping him up, making sure all of the blood is contained, making sure it's all cleaned out. And then he picks him up, and he sets him on his own animal, the animal he might have been riding. And he brought him to an inn and took care of him. He took care of him. He loved that man in the same way he would take care of his own body. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, which was their money, and gave them to the host, to the guy who had the inn, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Essentially, the man hands him a credit card. Hands him a credit card, says, spend all you like. Whatever you need, take care of it. I'll take care of it for you. Then he leaves the man at this inn to be taken care of. That story of the Good Samaritan, of a man who people would have viewed as, that's not a good guy. He's a Samaritan. He came alongside someone who was hurt, someone who needed help, and he lifted him up, and he bound him up, and he cleaned him up, and he gave him money, and he spent time and energy helping this man get better. That is loving God and loving others. That is selflessly giving. That is being a servant. What I really want us to walk away with this week, one of the things, is I want us to walk away with this idea that everything starts with love God and love others. How I act in my cabin, how I treat my siblings, how I treat my parents, how I treat entertainment, what YouTube videos I watch. They start with love God and love others. We're going to learn how they all come back to that. We're going to look at more things. We've got about 9 more things to hang on this chandelier, ways we can love God and love others. Could you say this with me really quick? Everything starts with love God and love others. Again, everything starts with love God and love others. Now, I want you to do the hand motion. So get your fist like this, and we'll go, everything starts with love God and love others. One more time. Everything starts with love God and love others. You might get annoyed at hearing that this week because we're going to say it so much. But that's because it's so important. It's the food and water of our life. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes.